You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So, we've come through a national election. Which was much more significant than merely a contest between two political parties. But rather, it was a measurement of the spiritual temperature of the nation. On the one hand, we had the principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, as Paul calls it in Ephesians 6:12. And on the other hand, we had the people of righteousness, the people of God, defenders of the faith, followers of the one true God. If you didn't see it that way, you're missing the point of what's going on in the world. The current president, President Biden, correctly described this election as a battle for the soul of a nation. Make no mistake, this was not a contest between flesh and blood. It was a battle between the demonic forces of darkness and the angel armies of God for the souls of the nation and the land that God has given them, period. If you think that's a little bit bold, a little bit brash, I'm sorry, I will not apologize. Because this nation is not post-Christian, it's pre-revival. There is a revival coming. It needs to start with the church, and in this community, it needs to start with this church. Now, we can look all the way back into the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis, to the Abrahamic covenant, and you will see that while this was a recent battle, that we are in an ancient war. Our ancestors in ancient Judaism experienced this struggle over and over again in the course of their history, and I have news for everyone. Their history is our history. Their story is our story. Turn and tell somebody, their story's my story. You see, in ancient times, the land of Israel was promised to the Jewish people in the Abrahamic covenant. God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," this is before his name was changed to Abraham, "go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Then the boundaries of this land that God promised to Abraham were drawn out. It was very specific what the land would entail. In Genesis 15, 18, "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" And so that land promise carried through all the ancient covenants, from the Abrahamic covenant to the Mosaic covenant. And we read about that covenant in Exodus 19, verses 4 through 8, where Moses says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, saith the Lord, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And then once again in Exodus 23:31, the land is specifically mapped out. I will set your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates River. For I will hand over the inhabitants of the land to you, and you will drive them out from you. See, this land of promise was passed from the ancient Abrahamic covenant to Isaac and then to Jacob, who, by the way, his name is Israel, and then to the Davidic covenant. The land promise is once again carried into the Davidic covenant. We read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I will establish a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will malicious people oppress them any more as previously, even from the day that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are finished and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with a rod of men and with strokes of sons of mankind, but my favor shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the covenant that God made with David. And in the center of it is the land promise. The promise of the land. The promised land, if you will. Here we see that there's a clear tie between the major covenants between God and his people Israel and the land of promise which he gave them. The place is integral to the covenant. The land is integral to the covenant. This will make sense, I promise. From the Davidic covenant, that same promise is transferred into the new covenant, the messianic covenant. There's a clear tie between the old Hebrew covenants and the messianic covenant. And we see in Ezekiel 36, the new covenant is described centuries before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Listen to what is written in Ezekiel 36. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and bring it about that you walk in my statutes and are careful and follow my ordinances, and you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. You see that this land promise is interwoven in all of the covenants that God made with his people. And you and I, the church, we are people of the new covenant, which is permanently linked to all of the covenants that preceded it. We are the people of one book. We are the people of one covenant. We are the people of one promised land. And so, we're emerging victorious from the latest battle in the struggle for the land of the covenant. Our place, our land, from sea to shining sea, is as much a part of the new covenant as the land of our fathers from the Euphrates River to the sea. Do you see the connection? Land, a place for us, is part of the covenant that we have with Almighty God through Jesus Christ the Son. I had originally intended to preach about the widow's mite, which is in our gospel lesson for today. But the Holy Spirit's been working on me. I think I might have given you a little taste of it as we had our first class meeting in a while last Wednesday, and I had been struggling because the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me something about this nation, this land that we call home. And as I watched the election returns come in Tuesday night into the pre-dawn hours of Wednesday morning, I witnessed as the news cameras went into the various election headquarters around our country, I witnessed thousands of God's people singing hymns and praising God in all that was going on. I have never seen that before. Praising God for the victory. It was a moving testimony to where God is in all of this. This battle in a long, hard-fought, ancient war between good and evil. This particular battle has been won. Make no mistake, there are many more battles to fight. And the thing is, I've read the end of the book. And when all is said and done, God wins. The devil can't change the ending. But that doesn't mean he won't try to make the fight difficult. The devil doesn't want to give a concession speech. But the war's already won in Jesus' mighty name. And so we have a president-elect. And I have to tell you, he is not even close to being a Messiah. He's not. With all of his human faults and rough edges, he is nonetheless, I guess, more like David, who had plenty of rough edges of his own. And still, David was a man after God's own heart. And I guess our president-elect has admittedly said, you know, I am trying to be a good Christian man. I heard him say it. But I fall short. And don't we all? We didn't elect a Messiah. No, we didn't. Our president-elect is merely an instrument that our sovereign Lord will use to accomplish his purposes regarding the covenant that he has made with us through Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who can make the nation great. The only one. Thank God our Lord uses people to accomplish his purposes. He uses people. To accomplish his purposes. So the lesson from this week is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your prayers going up to God. Because the land promise of the new covenant is in God's capable hands. And we make our home in the land, but more importantly, we make our home in the kingdom of the covenant. This is where we are in our struggle in the human condition. We're in a good place. Because it's the place that God has prepared for us. Not only in our future spiritual life to come, but in the here and now. In the here and now, God is in control. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message, and until then, may God bless you and keep you.